So would you advocate we need to get back to the good old days of glass bottles, the ones we used to collect up in crates, and you get 10p for each of them at the local off licence?
Well, there's a number of things there. I mean, glass is certainly heavier than plastic. So if you do the assessment of the impacts and you look at it from a carbon perspective, the packaging is lighter in plastic than in glass. If we can get those plastic bottles to be more circular, and there's good evidence of high recyclability for milk bottles, for example. So I don't think it's necessarily about going back to glass. The idea of the deposit on the bottle could be an incentive to get people to return the bottles. And we've seen that working with deposit return schemes on plastic bottles in other countries. So that could be an advantage. But a key part of getting this circularity to work is going to be simplifying the formulation of the plastics. You know, if I think even about the plasticizers that help to make the plastic bendable, I understand there's over 24 different formulations of plasticizer. Why have we got those? Because different companies are, of course, not wanting to pay exorbitant rights to one initial patent owner. So they've tried to develop their own plasticizers. All well and good so far. But if you're a recycler faced with this diversity of 20 different chemicals that all do the same job, it makes it quite challenging to then recycle that material into a viable product. And of course, it's not just the plasticizers. Recent studies demonstrated there are over 16,000 different chemicals associated with plastics and plastic production. And around 4,000 of those chemicals, back to the earlier question about chemical release, are known to be potentially harmful. So I think if we're going to aim for increased circularity via recycling, that's going to have the biggest potential for single-use plastics, where the benefit to society is short-lived and the potential to turn those end-of-life plastics into new plastics is quite high. And let's not forget that of the 400 million tons of plastic we produce every year, about 40% of those are destined for those short-lived applications. But to get that circularity to work, we've got to dramatically simplify the chemical formulations. We've got to harmonize the way we do things so that you can mix, you know, lemonade bottle of brand A with lemonade bottle of brand B with a container of the same plastic that didn't contain lemonade, and you can recycle them without resulting in a product that is inferior. So recycle is in there, but we've got to go a long way to getting that to work. Less than 10% of all the plastics we produced have been recycled, and there are lots of challenges there around the potentially hazardous chemicals that are used and the fact that that's difficult for a recycler to know what is coming into their plant. So we start with reduction, right? And there are clearly plastics, particularly some of the single-use ones, that we don't need, or at least I would say we can't afford the luxury of them, given all of these external environmental costs and potential cost to human health that I've talked about. So we need to reduce. If you look at the curves for predicted production alongside our ability to manage the waste, those curves are escalating away from each other. This is not a problem that can be solved by waste management alone. So we can't afford the luxury of some of this throwaway plastic, whether it's single-use drinking straws, single-use plastic carrier bags, the microbeads in cosmetics that are now, you know, thankfully banned in many countries. So we need to think about developing essentiality criteria for plastic products, because it's clear that they all have the potential to be hazardous if they get into the wrong context. Then for the plastic items that are essential, we need to make them safer and more sustainable than we have done to date. And that sustainability needs to be reflected in either reuse formats or recyclability.
I was very relieved when we went for a coffee just before we got together that you produced your reusable coffee cup and castigated my single use, but I didn't have the forethought to think I'm meeting a plastics recycling man and I should be more cognizant about bringing a coffee cup I can reuse. How do you sleep at night? Because the thing is that now you've identified this problem, everywhere you look in the world around us, you see more of the same. You see the problem amplifying. I go shopping and I shudder. And it was you that did it to me, because I look at the shopping and the amount of plastic waste I generate from my weekly shop fills a bin. It doesn't seem like we can serve anything anymore without wrapping it up in layers of plastic. So what do you do to relax? Do you get any respite, Richard?
Plastics aren't the enemy. Plastics bring immense societal benefit and can bring environmental benefit. You think of lightweight parts in cars and aeroplanes. You think of the many applications in hospitals and schools. Even the single-use packaging that we might pick on actually extends the life of food and drink in supermarkets, in our homes, and it reduces food wastage, which is another major environmental challenge. So the solution isn't about trying to ban plastics from our lives. The consumer will have a key role in that solution, but at the minute, education as how to use plastic more responsibly, we have a slightly broken system. So we need to go right from the drawing board to design plastics in a way that's safer and sustainable. We need to make sure when we're thinking about designing a plastic product that we've considered its end-of-life fate and how it should be disposed of and what the options might be. That's going to be very context-specific. It's going to be different in the UK, where I have the benefit of a quite sophisticated recycling truck arrive out at my doorstop once a week, to communities that I visit in Indonesia, where literally the only means of getting rid of the rubbish is either to burn it, releasing potentially toxic gases, or to throw it into the local river, because there is no other collection. But it's really critical that we think about that at the design stage, we design plastics that are safer and more sustainable, including what happens at the end of life. And to me, it's a tragedy when I talk to product designers, even of the single-use plastics, that they say to me, end of life, I was never asked to think about that. I was simply asked to make a product that performed and was attractive to the consumer. And that's a major part of why we've got the problem that we have. It's not that plastics can't be safe and sustainable. It's that we failed to even think about making them in that way.
A very important message, and one we would do very well to heed. Thanks very much to our Titan of Science this week, Richard Thompson.